Saturday and Sunday. The 39th annual Dearborn Homecoming will feature rides, music, vendors, food, and community high school reunions on August 3rd through 5th at Ford Field Park, located at 500 Monroe Street.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Welcome back to WHFR. This is 89.3, and this is your host, Mark Hall. You're tuned in to Impact, the show about people and organizations making a difference and an impact in the community. We're here today to talk about the 48-hour film project. And today we have two of the producers from the group joining us, Mr. Mo Rita and Jennifer Gintner. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. How are you, Mark?
Great. Very privileged to see old friends, new friends, and a great group at WHFR. So tell me about you guys and what are you doing and what's coming up in the very near future for you?
Well, let's see. So this is my first year producing the Detroit 48. I have been competing for about 8 years. And I finally decided to kind of make the switch and not be a competitor anymore, but to be a producer. So that's been a primary focus right now. Other than that, I also,
you know what, relax. Like Jennifer says, we know each other going back those 9 years now since our first time competing in the 48, and now to see you step on the other side, more power to you.
Thank you.
I salute you.
Thank you.
And tell me about this gentleman sitting to the right of you, Mo.
Yeah, I'm Jen's co-producer for this project. Also, I kind of had the same path to producing it. While I was going to film school, I came across the project and I started to compete. You know, it's a weekend where you have, you know, where you can make a film, and I was studying film at the time, and I fell in love with it. And then I became an organizer and producer, and now I find myself here with this lovely young lady co-producing the Detroit branch of the 48-hour film project.
Now, there's people listening who don't have our familiarity, and we have to tell them, 48-hour film project.
What
you can't
that?
Make a film in 48 hours. Guess what? It's been done a few times.
It can be done.
Yeah, well, more than a few times. I think thousands and thousands of times internationally at this point.
Which it won't be a 2.5-hour Marvel Cinematic or DC, or DC might hope we make theirs. But did I say that? it is a film project that you shoot in 48 hours. Tell people the structure of this.
So we actually do everything that you would do on a regular movie. You just do it in 2 days' time. So when you come to kickoff, when you get a team together, you all gather together, and you're given three elements to actually put into your project. So you're given a prop, a line of dialogue, and a character that you need to use. And that way we kind of know that you've done that in the 48 hours' time.
As opposed to sneak it in.
Yeah,
prior to
like
that
if
weekend.
You have some stuff done before, you don't want to do that. Like the whole challenge, the fun of it all is that you can actually do it in 2 days' time.
I've always wondered, has anybody A, done it, B, been caught doing it?
I don't know if anyone's been caught. I'm sure people have tried it. Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, it's you mean like if people have tried to shoot a film and then hand it in as if they've done it during the weekend?
Well, obviously, they don't know what the prop, the character, and the dialogue are going to
right.
be, but elements outside, maybe we shouldn't even discuss that so as to give anybody hints.
Well, I think it's more work than it is to just actually do it, you know, according to the competition rules, because it's structured in such a way where it really makes it difficult, because you're getting a random genre, you know, you won't
are.
Know what the color of your film is until you're there on that weekend of the kickoff. And then you got to throw in, you know, a person, you know, the character with a specific job that the character has, and a line of dialogue, you know, which has to be spoken or written somewhere in the film. But you can tell, and then of course the prop, you know, which also has to show up in the film. But you can tell if things have been really, you know, kind of like copy pasted into the film. It's.
And let me just say for everybody out there, the number one reason going into this is the sheer fun of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have thoughts, or maybe it was just me. It could have been the case, but whatever thoughts I had. The fun of what we were doing always carries the day. And knowing that the team, when you show up to have your films displayed, they were doing the same thing you were. They were hustling in that same 48-hour frame that you were. And that's where the challenge, the fun, camaraderie comes from. So I'm sorry if I took this the wrong direction.
No, you're dead on. Yeah. You're dead on.
Yeah. No, I'm sure people, there have been people, I'm sure, who've gone into it thinking, well, if we just do this in advance, or if we just write, it does. It takes away from the fun, the challenge of it all. I mean, I think it can totally be done in 2 days. I mean, okay, so when I learned about the 48-hour film project, I was going to school, and the teaching assistant in class, every week he had a new tip for filmmakers and different websites and things that you can, you know, look up. And 1 week was the tip was the Detroit 48-hour film challenge, or sorry, the Detroit 48-hour film project. And, you know, he explained it. He had already had a team. He'd been at like a couple years already. And I remember sitting there and I was like, I will never do that in a million years.
Now, you talk about this guy like he made an impact on you. Does he have a name?
Yes, yes.
Really?
His name is Eddie Fritz.
Eddie Fritz. Where have I heard that before?
Yes, Eddie Fritz was started out as a teaching assistant when I started school. And then he later became a producer for the Detroit 48 himself. So,
tip of the hat to you, Mr. Fritz.
Absolutely. And eventually, yeah, I mean, everybody else, you know, Mark, you were there, and a bunch of other friends of mine from school. They were like, come on, let's just try it. Let's just do it. It'll be fun. So we joined Eddie's team, and I ended up getting totally addicted to it. And I did it, you know, like 10 times after that. So between the Detroit 48, I've been down to Cleveland to compete in their 48-hour film project. And it becomes like, it's an adrenaline. It's such an addiction. So
let's share that with people. This isn't just a local thing, as great as it is to be local for the Metro Detroit area, but national, international.
Yeah, I mean, we can go all the way back to when it first started.
Which was when?
Which was 2001 in Washington, D.C. A fellow by the name of Mark Rupert.
Good guy already.
Yeah. Coincidentally, you know, same name as yourself. So Mark started this project in Washington, D.C. as, you know, as an experiment, apparently. And it worked. He did it, you know, with a group of friends and family. And it was a great idea. And then slowly it just kind of organically started to spread, you know, from state to state, you know. So it's an American thing, a North American thing initially. And then, you know, over time, it just kind of started to jump outside of America, went, you know, to Europe, and then, you know, to South America, and then the Middle East, and then to Africa, and then, you know, and it's just everywhere now. And it's literally the biggest timed film competition in the world at this point, and the most popular, and I would say the original in a lot of ways, because there have been so many spin-offs as a result, you know, because it's just it's such an amazing concept. And what you hit on earlier, it really emphasizes fun. You know, you want to be creative, you know, and it's really catered for, you know, people who just want to challenge themselves and be creative. But fun is the thing we emphasize, and I think that's what the weekend's all about, is getting out there and having fun and making new connections and trying to come up with something good. But, you know, it doesn't always work out, you know, when you're trying to, even if you're doing it, you know, as a profession, it never always works out when you're in a creative field. you know. Taking a weekend out just to do it, I think is a safe bet. You know, you might end up with something really fun and great at the same time, and something that you can show off and maybe even move on to. Like, you can take it from this festival and then enter it into other festivals, because at the end of the day, that film is your film once you've made it. We like to encourage people to get out there and have fun, but at the same time, of course, be creative. And you know, it's a weekend. You can either spend it at a club, or you can make a film.
So what did you do this past weekend? Oh, laid on the couch, or went to the game. What did you do? Oh, I made a film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Say what? To say that.
Yeah.
To show that. I mean, as you say, you have something to show for. Talk about having your friends over to watch your home movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I placed third, or I placed seventh. And as we say, you got 48 hours to do this, and your finished project, the length can run.
It's actually, by rule, it's 4 to 7 minutes. So okay. An average film is 5 minutes. You know, it's,
so we're not looking for the next Scorsese piece.
No. I mean, it's not. I mean, I've never seen a Scorsese short film. I don't know if he's done any. I'm sure. I think maybe the shortest he's done is a half hour. I don't know.
If you can come up with something on his in a 7 minute piece, more power to you. But 47 minutes of a product. And you get a prompt, if you will, as you mentioned earlier, a character, a genre, and a prop.
A line of dialogue and a prop.
Yeah.
Okay. People can go out ahead of time to scout locations.
Yeah. So you can do the planning ahead of time. You can put your cast and crew together. You can go and figure out where you would want to shoot. Maybe sometimes you might want to secure a permit for a certain location that you think, you know, visually is appealing and that you can shoot in. So you can secure, you know, your equipment, your crew, your locations, and the things that will make your weekend easier. But as far as creative work, all that has to happen during the weekend. So writing, directing, shooting, editing, and, you know, putting your sound to your video. That all has to happen all during the weekend. So basically, the whole film has to be handed in before the 48-hour deadline. So we kick off on a Friday night at 7 p.m. That is the official start. And 7 p.m. Sunday is when the films are due back. Any film that's handed in before that deadline is considered an on-time film in the competition, as long as they adhere to the rules that we had mentioned already, the prop, the character, and the line, and the genre that they were assigned, then they're in the running for best film in Detroit. Any film that comes in after that cutoff point will still be screened, and they're in the running for the audience awards. But that's the extent of it. They won't be able to be crowned as the best 48-hour film of Detroit. The added perk to being the winner in Detroit, you also go on to an international competition called Filmapalooza, where all the winners from every city that's competed are competing against each other for the best 48-hour film in the world. And then there's another tier to that, where the top 10 international films, top 10 to 15 actually, will end up at the Cannes Short Film Corner, which is also really nice for filmmakers to be able to get there.
And you can wind up in front of Scorsese yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we've had some experience with this Detroit film thing before.
Yes.
Mo, you've got a little more done other cities?
Yeah, so a little, we'll go off on a little tangent here. I actually started doing the 48 when I was visiting Beirut back in 2010. I had already participated here locally, well, not here in New York City, but that's local enough. And
it's all relative.
Right. So I was in Beirut at the time, and I was looking at the community there. It's an amazing community of creative people who just want to express themselves and just needed that stage. And I kind of, you know, thought it would be a good thing to suggest to the to Mark Rupert, the executive producer of the project here. And they didn't know how to react because there weren't any other Middle East cities that, you know, that were involved. You know, I guess, you know, people think of the Middle East and they just think it's all out war out there. You know, who would possibly want to be making a film? You know, but when I got to Beirut, it was completely different. I mean, it's a party town. People love life and they're just, you know, out there and, you know, they're being creative in any way that they can. They're just looking for a stage. At the same time, you know, I really believe in bridging the gap between East and West because, you know, of my background. You know, I'm Lebanese American. You know, I grew up in America. So, you know, bridging that gap is really something that I believe in. And I thought that was a great way to do it, you know, to give people that stage there and then link it to what's happening here. And then people would be able to see the films that are being produced, you know, out in the Middle East, and you know, and then there'd be that interaction because, for example, you know, at one point, one of the winners in Beirut, you know, had their film screen at Filmapalooza, which we just mentioned, and they wanted to come out, and Filmapalooza was being held in Hollywood at the time, which is a big thing, you know, people, okay. You know, like anybody filmmaker, you know, Hollywood is.
Where did it begin?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everybody wants to be there, you know, to. Just say I've been to Hollywood and my film has been screened in Hollywood. But when they got there, you know, and the community of people from all over the world are also watching the film and then, like, you know, and just kind of interacting and throwing ideas back and forth and, oh, I like what you did there, I like what you did there. And then, like, you know, those kind of connections sometimes can go a long way. Yeah, it's really cool, you know. And then from Beirut, I figured why not, while I was out there, expanded it a little bit more. So I ended up doing it in Cairo and in Amman, Jordan, and then in Dubai.
So the language of film, short film, amateur film, has got a new home in the Middle East that you got to say, you got your hands on. You got to spread the love.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice because at the end of the day, the project itself is a community-based project. You know, you're bringing people together that are, they're from all backgrounds of filmmaking. You have your amateurs, your students, and then you have your pros and your semi-pros and whatnot. And, you know, creating that environment where the whole community comes together and tries to do this, and then they start helping each other out and collaborating and building something out of nothing. You know, there is also that added part where, by creating that weekend and setting those dates, you're motivating people. You know, a lot of us sit around and think, you know, I want to make a film. I want to make a short film. But there's never that push to make it. You know, here it's like, okay, this is the weekend. You got to show up and you got to make a film. And there are no excuses. You know, it's, you can't talk and dream about it anymore. Now you got to actually do it. And, you know, that push, I think, is also great for a lot of procrastinators out there, you know, who, or dreamers that, you know, dream a little bit too much and do not enough.
And for this local push, when is that weekend coming? When is the weekend happening?
It's going to be July 13th through the 15th.
So right after this airs on WHFR.FM and 89.3, the second Tuesday of the month is when my version of Impact hits the air. But as of right now, we want people to, again, learn how to reach out to you. So if they have an interest, if they're listening to you right now, Mo Rita, Jen Gittner, how can they contact you? How can they participate? How can they join in the 48-hour project?
So you definitely want to visit our website, which is www.48hourfilmproject. And then you want to / with Detroit if you're in the Detroit area.
Just be sure this is a .com, .net.
.com.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it's,
there's so many.
44, the number 4, the number 8, 48hourfilmproject.com/Detroit.
Yes.
There we go.
And you can find all the info there.
Okay. Yes.
Now we are on the internet, so conceivably somebody listening to this could hit that / and type in their city and get their local project going.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in our case, in Jen and Mo's case, that's 48hourfilm.com/Detroit, and that'll get you started to your website. But is there any other means of reaching you guys?
Well, even on that website, there's a link to our emails. Mm-hmm. So if you scroll down to the bottom, you'll find, you know, get in touch with the city producer, and that'll bring up our email address where people can get in touch. And we welcome people to get in touch for any questions. I mean, you know, there are people that want to start teams and have the means and the connections to start a team. But then there are people that just want to join, whether it's an actor or someone, you know, who just wants to help out on a shoot. And there's also a link in there for people to just put their information on the website so that team leaders or directors or producers can go out and look through that list and then call them up to have them join the team. It's important to mention that this is a community-based project, so it's supposed to be like a non-paid like
non-profit.
Oh, no, this is it's non-profit. This is just purely for fun.
Okay. What we do know is that,
but there is a registration for each team.
That's, you know, yes. That's nothing new or unheard of with nonprofits. To keep you guys afloat isn't free. The internet isn't free, really, for one thing.
Just putting the whole, I mean, it's, you know, the whole project together, not just the Detroit. This is, you know, the whole 48-hour brand, you know, all over in each city. It's a lot of work, and it's not a very big team that puts together. Not talking about Jen and I. I'm talking about the people behind the scenes, the executive producers and the web managers and those people.
And we haven't even touched on the screening yet.
Correct.
After these films are made, you guys don't just watch these on your laptop or on somebody's 65-inch television at home. You get full-fledged theater screenings.
That's one of the wonderful things about this. I feel like it gives you the opportunity to see something you've made and it's on the big screen. I mean, it's so exciting. And I remember the first time we got to see one of our first 48s, and it's so exciting. You get to see your name up there, the project you've worked so hard for. It's so rewarding. And this year we are actually going to be in Royal Oak at the Main Art Theater. And that is going to be on July the 25th and the 26th. So even if you don't have a chance to participate, you don't have a team, I highly encourage people to come out and take a look at these films.
See what it's about.
Absolutely.
It might change your mind for next year.
It really could. And you could meet some people who are, you know, other filmmakers, people who are looking for actors, people who are looking for help with lighting. You never know who you're going to run into.
What I find interesting is going back to something Mo was saying. If you're somebody who happens to be a property owner and you think your backyard or something that Uncle Willie willed you, and you're sitting on, or you just know this would be something good for people to shoot on because it looks interesting visually to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody else would think so. Contact Jen and Mo as they can put it up on the website. And maybe somebody looking to shoot their film but doesn't have an idea yet where they would shoot it can find you.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you happen to be an actor, a costume maker, editor, what have you, and you don't have a team of your own but you want to put yourself out there, contact Mo and Jen.
Mm-hmm.
What, 48hourfilmproject.com?
Yep.
/Detroit.
48hourfilm.com.
48hourfilm.com. /Detroit.
Yeah. So one of our main responsibilities is putting people together and trying to help people, you know, trying to help a producer find, you know, their cast or their crew. Or like you're saying, if someone we don't get that many people who have locations that want to say that say come shoot at our location, but that's something that would be great. You know, it's a that would be awesome if that person wanted to offer.
Well, let me put that inspiration out there. People, put it out there. Contact these people. So you can contact your friends and say, hey, look, I finally got into the film.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is. And it's exciting to participate. If you have a piece of property, you have a home, you've got a business that you want to share with somebody. I mean, it's especially if a business. I mean, it helps promotion-wise for you. Everyone's going to get a chance to see it. I mean, we have hundreds of people who come out to watch these films, so you just never know who's going to
get your name put up at the end credits.
Absolutely.
And, there's so many ways to be a part of the film industry. And here you have two people who were taking from their time, offering themselves if you'll reach out. And I want to thank you two, not just for coming out today, but for doing this and keeping this available for others. How did you two get to be the current producers of the project?
Well, I had to apply.
I had to apply too, actually.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I didn't get in like any special treatment. but I was back here in the US after, you know, my tour around the Middle East. And I applied just as Jen did. And the person who was trying to put it together said, you guys are both great, but you know, Jen has done this locally and you're more familiar with the actual in and outs of the project. Why don't you guys collaborate? And I think, you know, that was a great idea. And, you know, we've been doing it for a little while now.
Yeah. It's been really helpful because I feel like I have the experience locally and, you know, Mo has the experience, you know, doing other 48s. And so combined, it's been a great team. So I've been really enjoying it. Been happy about it.
And extending the opportunity for these other teams to get their films made. As you say, the upcoming project is July
13th is the kickoff. So that's the day we're going to meet up. A representative from each team will show up to our kickoff location, which will be disclosed to the actual filmmakers. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a hat there, and each team is going to come up one at a time and take a genre out of a hat. So it's going to be a random selection. They won't know up until a half hour before kickoff what their genre is for that weekend. It could be horror, it could be comedy, it can be romance, it can be zombie film, you know,
musical,
what have you.
Western.
but just not to scare people off, you know, there is a way out of it. You know, there are two genres that you can select from, so you won't be forced to shoot a zombie film if that horrifies you. So after that, we give them the prop, the line of dialogue, and the character, which are top secret up until a few minutes before kickoff, and then it's 3, 2, 1, and they're out the gates. So it's like a marathon.
Do we know yet when screening will be?
Yes, we do. Jen is
July 25th and the 26th.
So
at the which theater?
At the Main Art Theater in Royal Oak.
In 2 weeks' time, you're going from shooting to on a big screen theater. Tell people curious about this. What kind of equipment? I mean, you don't need a $65,000 Arri or Red camera.
It'd be nice to have. But no,
mow your lawn for you.
You know, actually, I've seen people use some of the really big, serious equipment, and it gets more complicated than it needs to. Keeping it simple is key. Yeah.
Because if the story doesn't take it.
Right. It's really important to try to simplify because you really don't have enough time.
That is so true. Locations like to a minimum.
Yeah. Yeah, locations too, like, you know, not having too many locations because you really don't have enough time to you know, do that masterpiece that you've been dreaming about. Mm-hmm. You know, you can make a great film, and I've seen some amazing short films. I mean, the type of films that have come out of the 48-hour project, you know, a few that come to mind, Paris, Amsterdam, they've made some films that are better than any of the short films that I've seen, regardless of how long it took him, whether it took him 6 months or a year or 48 hours. I mean, these guys, you know, have their stuff together. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's possible to really make something special in that weekend. And there's no restriction on experience, you know, on equipment, on format. That's really up to the filmmaker. You know, if you want to shoot it with your camera phone and your story, you know, and it works for your story, who knows, you might be able to make a good film out of it. And as far as crew, I mean, there was a guy in New York City a few years ago who didn't have a crew, didn't have a cast, so he just set up the camera and did the acting himself. You know, it was a still camera. Mm-hmm. You know, and he actually won the competition. I mean, he did it a couple of years in a row before he finally won, but still, I mean, and he did it in that way.
They say limitations help inspire people to rise up.
Sometimes,
and you think
do,
48
yeah.
hours is a bad enough limitation, but I tip my hat to him. We're joined today by Jennifer Gintner and Mo Rita from the 48 Hour Film Project. And I appreciate your coming. Again, tell people the website.
48hourfilm.com/Detroit.
Can find you on Facebook?
Yes, we do have a Facebook page.
Great.
Yeah, and I think that's actually under Detroit 48 Hour Film Project.
It also can be found on the website. So the website has everything. It has a link for registration if you want to register your team. It has a link for you to sign up to try to join a team. It has a link to get in touch with us, and it has a link to our social media accounts as well if you want to like and follow as well.
If you didn't know about this before, I'm glad and privileged to be the one bringing this to you. Now go out and make a film and tell Mo and Jen I said hi. Folks, this is Impact. This is Mark Hall, Mo Rita, Jen Gintner, 40 Hour Film Project, WHFR 89.3. So thank you for tuning in to Impact, the show about people and organizations making an impact in their community. In this segment of the show, we're going to be talking to Brenda Williams, who wears many hats.
I do.
And so before I try to introduce you, I just want to say, hi, Brenda.
Hi, Mark.
So let's talk about all these hats you wear. You are a poet.
I am.
A motivational speaker.
I am.
A podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
And what am I leaving out?
Bilingual.
Yes.
Yo hablo español.
Teacher.
Sí, yo soy una maestra de español también.
You know. Hasta luego.
No está bien. No te preocupes sobre eso.
I took German and I picked up a little bit of Tagalog, but you left me.
No sprechen Sie Deutsch. I'm not. That's not my. that's not in my wheelhouse.
Okay. Yes. Educator.
Yes.
In many different ways.
Yes.
And tell us how you're sharing your passion, your education now.
See, how am I expressing right now? I think I'm expressing on every platform in which I think a person can express, well, as many platforms as I'm going to do it. In all honesty, I just can't brave all the social media technologies. However, if people want to get in touch with me, they can get in touch with me on Facebook via Be Intentional with Brenda Williams. So they just put in that keyword search. So there's a community page for that.
Now, okay, we have to get this straight.
Yes.
Brenda. Spell it for folks.
I will spell it for people because it's a mouthful, I understand. I'm a 80s baby where parents were getting very creative. And so with the hyphens and dashes and all that good stuff, I'm one of those products. So you can, my name is spelled BER-HENDA. But on online, everything's all lower caps. BER-HENDA Williams.
And this is how people have found you doing your spoken word.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So you can search me on YouTube. I've got some YouTube videos of poetry if people are inclined and want to hear.
Does the title Slam Poet, where do you stand on that?
Oh, well, I'm not a slam poet, so that's where I stand.
Okay.
On it. Well. However, I stand on this. I don't knock any person who is a slam poet because that's how they monetize themselves. So, you know, that's one of the ways as a poet you can monetize yourself. However, I don't necessarily support poetry being competitive because poetry is you, you know, and so how can I judge an expression of oneself being good or bad? It's your truth. So I do find it entertaining. Slam is actually absolutely entertaining. But as on a personal level, I don't compete. I don't participate in slams. However, to my fellow slam poets out there, I do understand as a poet, you have to look as many ways as possible to monetize yourself. And that is definitely one avenue.
And you are finding other ways and doing some nonprofit, which is the really...
Yeah.
We want you to monetize yourself.
Yes.
But it's very...
And it legitimizes. I mean, let's be honest. It legitimizes when people, you know, see that you're attached to a recognized organization or you have turned yourself into an entity. It makes them feel more comfortable.
And the entity that I guess I've had the fortune to see you close up at and just shine has been Girl Power, the power of girlhood.
Oh, yeah, that's my baby.
Tell us about your baby.
So the Power of Girlhood. So the Power of Girlhood is an organization that I started in 2011 as an educator.
Okay.
I was a 10th grade Spanish teacher, and we had a day where we took a step away from traditional academic time and did a program called intercession. So during the intercession time, we do like design-based thinking, and the girls or students were able to maybe look at some hobbies and other interests that they had. And so the teachers, we all elected to help students design based on a question. So that was how everything went, how was on question. So it always started out, how might. So in my, this fortuitous day, was how might a girl or how might a teen create a community. And so the power of girlhood emerged out of that. How might a teen create a community? So we started talking, well, what is community? And they started defining what community is. Well, what do you need? Because you're a member of the community, what do you need? And so I really started inherent this, like really, really intently listening to what they said that they needed. And I said, okay, well, I have a relationship here and I have a relationship there. And I took it a step further and had conversations with colleagues at other schools, other educators. And so the issues that girls were dealing with wasn't unique to my school. And so I said to myself, self, you know, you have two hands, use them. And I created a program out of that. And it started at the Southfield Public Library. And 8 years later, we're now at Grace in Action in Southwest Detroit. We have a chapter.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have a chapter.
You have a home base now.
We have a home base now. So we were very program heavy. We had a few schools where we were doing the like a mentorship and residency. But just for the sake of like autonomy and being able to manage it and you know, really, I think do the long-term investment in the girls, a chapter was just best for us. And so anyone who's listening, who is interested in starting any type of program, there's going to be a lot of trial and error. You're going to see what sticks and what doesn't. I would highly recommend not doing everything yourself.
You take a few blows along the way.
Oh, yeah. We got a few scars. Yeah. A few shiners, but it's okay.
These make for the great biography film later.
They make great for great epics. So,
okay.
So we're at Grace in Action in Southwest Detroit, and The Power of Girlhood is a sponsored project of Allied Media. So shout out to Allied Media. They've been an absolute lifesaver and really powerful support system for us. And for those who are not familiar with Allied Media, it is a consortium of artists, activists, bloggers, those who are in technology, video, who want to create a more just world through media. And with that said, Grace in Action is a hub in Southwest. It's a community building for youth. And so they do t-shirt design, they do button making, they do, I believe they do coding, anything that you can think of creative and artistic, they have it and they do it for the neighborhood. And in many times, either low cost or free.
Okay.
So they have multiple programs that run out of their church, and they are a sponsored project also of Allied Media. So our saving grace has really been our ability to build really strong relationships and partnerships. And the girls come in once a week. We meet for 2 hours and we talk about everything. We talk about social emotional issues. We talk about bullying. We talk about, we're doing a really great project. So if anyone wants to help support that, we're doing a video mini documentary on body shaming.
Now, tell me something.
Sure.
How do people find you so that they can be a part either of the documentary or to see it later?
Okay. So to be part of the documentary, to see it later, or to even invest in the documentary, because definitely
support
is so important, because these girls are absolutely brilliant. We just need the support there. So you can log on to thepowerofgirlhood.org. It'll come right up. If you can't remember anything else, you can put in your Google search, The Power of Girlhood.
Thepowerofgirlhood.org
is our website. And you can click there and click the contact page if you want to get in touch with me. But all of our handles are there. So we are on Facebook. You can check us out there. So we're on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. So right there at the homepage, you can see what we're up to. We also have monthly global dance parties. Yes. So one of our beautiful tenets is being culturally inclusive. And so we've been to Africa. We've done West African dance. We went to the other side of the continent. We've gone to Egypt. We've done ballet dance. We've went to Puerto Rico for salsa. And we're getting ready to go to Brazil for samba.
Okay. You lost me. Brazil?
Brazil.
Is where?
Brazil.
Oh, thank you. I told you.
So we're going to Brazil, Brazil, for samba. Yes.
Oh, okay. My cousin's really going to kick my butt because his wife is Brazilian.
Ooh,
but, I just know to use an S and not a Z anymore. So I'm working. Brazil. I'm trying.
Yes.
Now, who all, obviously, folks, I get it. I'm just working with you here. The Power of Girlhood.
Yes.
Who are these young ladies? What are their age ranges? Is it open to who?
It is open. It is open to any young lady or girl identified youth between the ages of 13 and 18.
Okay. And tell me something. You say you started this in 2011?
2011.
So some of these young ladies,
yes,
as they have gotten older.
Yes. Yes.
We've seen them go from pupil to...
Yes.
Mentor?
Oh my gosh, I can't stand it sometimes. I really can't. Like, oh my gosh, you're a grown person. You have on heels and makeup. Take off those heels and makeup.
I'm going
to
put so much compression on this.
I'm serious. I'm like screaming into the microphone, but that's how they just want me to start throwing things at them. Like, I can't take you. I remember when, you know, you had a wrap and now your hair is cut, and in some cases some are getting married or they have kid. Like, what is this? You're carrying a baby? Like, what are you doing with a baby? You're a baby, but you know, they're
you're
not.
Auntie B now.
Yes. They're not, well, they're not babies anymore. So I was like, imagine that. What did you do and grow up on me? I mean, what are you doing to me? Yeah. I can't take it. You have to stay small forever. Like, forever. You're forever a girl. But no, they are really, many of them are doing really amazing things. All of them have gone on to four-year institutions. And I am just, you know, I watch them through, you know, social media also has its upsides, because we always kind of complain what we see on social media.
But we want to be able to watch the roots grow.
We want to, exactly, and see them stretch. And so I love when different cohorts run into each other and say, oh, you know, I'm at Eastern, or one of my interns was actually facilitating a workshop, and in came one of our girls when she was in middle school. So she's now in her freshman year. And so it was beautiful to see, you remember such and such from March? And I'm like, yes. And she's here and I'm facilitating. I'm like, oh my gosh. So that really warms my heart when you kind of see the power of girlhood out in the world connect with one another. It's really amazing. And what I love, and I think that this is, at least for me, we just hear so oftentimes about the brutality that women express to one another. And so I'm really proud that in the organization, our non-negotiable is cattiness. We're not catty. We're not judgmental. We're open. We're honest. We're vulnerable. I love when the girls come to each other's rescue, because if, for example, we had a young lady who was being bullied, all the girls were like, where's she at? you're my sister, and if you have a problem, then she has a problem. She's got a problem.
And now the documentary on body shaming.
On body shaming. So that was a very deep conversation because, as you know, being a teenager, period, is difficult.
No.
You know, male or female.
What?
You know, it's when we look back over our lives, no one volunteers, I'd love to go back to being a teenager. That's not the area. It's cruel. It's awkward. It's lonely sometimes. It's isolating, especially if you're a child who is a little different. And so with that said, as girls are developing, there's still horrible things that are said. We had one of the young ladies share it with me that she went to the doctor to be examined, and she was accused of allowing someone to fondle her. That's why her breasts were so big. That's a notion that, I mean, not to date my mom, but that's a notion that I heard in my mother's generation.
Okay, my mind is blown.
Yeah, mind blown, right?
Some of these...
That a medical professional would actually... Well, one...
Oh, this was the doctor saying?
Yes, this was a medical professional. Right, a medical professional saying that.
In the 21st century.
In the 21st century. Exact, right? That's what I'm saying. This notion, I remember my mom saying when she was...
I thought this was somebody saying this to her to send her to the doctor.
No, she is with the... Yes, being examined. And she said she, I remember her because I was also her teacher in the classroom. She would always wear a jacket, even if it was like 90 degrees and like there's no AC in the building. And I couldn't. And so I kind of thought, well, you know, maybe there's something that she wants to cover up. And she said, because it's the body shaming is real, she just didn't want the attention. And so, of course, there's layers to that, right? All those microaggressions that happen to women on a regular basis. And then you add the layer of being a woman of color. And so kind of this intersection that we have to run in terms of fighting, you know, the things that are on the outside of us and then to be reduced down. And one of the girls said, I'm not just this body part. I'm not just my butt. I'm a person.
You know, not to take the conversation away from you. It's just... I want to go down such a rabbit hole of who is this guy?
Yes.
Where has it been done about him? And, you know, this leads to the whole thing about it's the woman's fault if the man finds her attractive.
Right, right, right. Woman shaming.
I saw her ankle, therefore it's not my fault that
Right. Yes. So this is why this documentary and why organizations like the Power of Girlhood are necessary, because where is the other container? Where would be the other place for girls to come together and have this type of conversation in a safe space, but also with an adult present? Because if anything came up, you know, as a mandated, you know, as a man, I would have to. So it does beg the question mentally, where else do girls go? Because this isn't just unique to them. This is not a unique problem to just the girls who are in my program, girls who are in any program. And dare I say, there's no way that simply the Power of Girlhood can handle all of the girls. You know, this notion that, you know, there's too many programs. I look at it this way. We have more people who need us than we can actually support.
And if you, I'm sorry, but if you only say 5 out of 5,000, then... Yeah. Bless you for saving 5.
Yeah.
Who can multiply to 25? And you have to start somewhere.
Somewhere.
And if you don't, then nothing begins. Nothing changes. So this is why we thank you for coming on to give people a venue and an access. Say, maybe I'm a single dad and I have a daughter. And
we would love to connect with single dads. Absolutely love. So if there are single dads who are listening, we would absolutely love to connect with single dads. We would absolutely love to connect with grandparents who are raising. We would love to connect with foster. We would love to connect. And we've had, we have a beautiful partnership actually with an organization called Blue Babies. And Blue Babies is an organization that helps, unfortunately, students or children who've never been adopted. Who age out of foster care altogether. So the system has been their mother and father. So, you know, yeah. Because we're going to admit we're going to need the Kleenex.
To make this connection.
Yes.
To reach you.
Yes.
The means is...
The means is going on to the Power of Girlhood website. So thepowerofgirlhood.org. I'm on all social media. I'm Brahinda. I'm the only one in the world. Trust me. I've Googled myself. I am the only Brahinda in the world.
I used to think I was the only Darwin Mark Hall in the world. Then I found out there's another one right here in the city of Detroit.
Is that right?
In my own city.
That's, wow. Well, there's no other Brahinda. If you put my name in Google, I will come up.
And what will come up as well is your podcast.
Yes! My podcast.
So you can see... I'm sorry. You can hear.
You can hear. Well, no, actually, they can see. We do Facebook Live.
Thank you.
We do Facebook Live. We're trying to be like the Brooks Club, where you can where you have video.
We're just gonna say that's a local reference, folks.
Yes.
To see me. Or to just drop you in the phone or what have you, yes. And listen in the car on the ride to work.
Yes,
or
we would love that.
How would one? I know you're on iTunes, but again,
we are on iTunes. So if you go under the Motor City Woman on iTunes Network and keyword be intentional, we'll come right up. B the letter B as okay. In Brahinda intentional.
There you go.
We'll come right up. You can log on to MotorCityWoman.com. There you can find me as well. All the shows are listed. And if you really want to, you know, your team B, which I love if you are your team.
Team B.
If you are team B.
Be intentional.
Yes.
The letter B.
If you want to be on team B, I love it. I love the love. You can go to my website, which is Brahinda, BER-HENDA-Williams.com. And we also have links for the Power of Girlhood on there. So all my brands are under a tab. So you can log on to Be Intentional. You can log on to the Power of Girlhood and see all of the things that I'm up to, my random musings and the whole bit.
Positive affirmations.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. All right. You know, it's interesting you say that because your latest show, the last one that I heard was about being a daddy's girl.
Ooh.
And I've had the privilege of meeting your father.
Yeah.
And talk about somebody who laid down a affirmative foundation. Salute you, Mr. Williams.
Hey, Daddy.
Hey. So this was, you know, yes, the power of girlhood. And yes, we were talking about single fathers. Your father gave you an example of what men should be.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, we say, gentlemen, pay attention to the lady's father. You want to learn how she's been treated, what she expects. You know, don't just look at her mother. We learned that one early on. But there's a lot to be said. There's a gentleman himself who should have a podcast. Put that in the universe.
Yes. Thank you. Your lips to God's ears, because I've been saying the same thing. I mean, Dad really needs to have his own show. And not just because he's my daddy, but no, he really is a thinker. He's definitely a deep feeler, and he really has amazing words of wisdom. So, so maybe that's something we can talk about, get Daddy on the network here and see how that goes. Cause I think that would be a really awesome addition. And again, I'm not just plugging him because he's my daddy, but my father, for those who don't, my father is an ordained minister. And he does pastoral counseling, and he is in the least judgmental person I think that I've ever met. He just loves first and then asks questions later.
And this is how you got to go out into the world and share the lessons he gave you.
Yes.
Now, tell us, where are you in terms of this documentary? When should we look to see?
So we're in the very beginning phases. So we need infrastructure. So we need, you know, donations. We're kind of fleshing out our crew. So we're really kind of in the ideation phase of it. So we've kind of got a really great framework going. We're really excited about that. And over the next few weeks, we really want to begin to putting some traction down and start shooting.
Now, people who think they may have something to offer in terms of either the behind the scenes.
Yes.
Or just fundamental support. We were talking earlier with the people from film project, filmmaking, 48 Hour Film Project. But also the people who think their story may be something that you want to shoot, to include. Do they reach you through the same website?
They reach me through the same website. So if there are people who are interested in being in the documentary, they feel like they have a story to share, and I'm going to cast this net wide. Even if you're an adult woman and you have a significant childhood, and maybe even teenage, you know, trauma behind being body shamed, and that you're willing to tell your story, we would love to hear that, because I think the understanding is the humanity piece. And I think that that's what disconnects us a lot of times when we have the isms and shaming and blaming, is that you don't see the individual as a human being. And when it becomes your daughter, and when it lands in your lap and it's, and it hits home, then I think people begin to see things a little different. And because we sometimes live in our own bubbles and, you know, just go about our lives, things can be happening under a parent's nose that they have no idea about. Like, they have no clue is even happening.
Just the fact that the child isn't in jail currently or isn't flunking out.
Correct.
Everything else is, well, I got to go to work to pay for the food.
Mm-hmm.
There's other things.
There are other things. There are so many other things. And so maybe there are things like, I don't know if it's because I have spidey senses and or I work in education, that I have a heightened sense of awareness. But it's like, let me come look. I'm always in their faces. Like, why are you? I'm in your face because I need to know what kind of day is today.
For the child?
For the child. What kind of day is today? What's going on with you? Why aren't you talking? If I notice you're a shift in demeanor, I have a heightened sense of awareness. And if you won't tell me, I send sentinels out. And they'll come back and tell me, like, okay, because I'm not going to leave it alone.
Okay. I'm going to have to bring you back when I do a show about education, because now we're getting into the value of people not realizing the value of the teacher as not just giving a lesson plan, but paying attention to the children that sometimes don't get paid attention to.
Absolutely.
Or don't get seen, don't get heard, until somebody who sees them on a daily basis away from home and sees changes that are deliberately hidden from parents.
I have so many children I didn't know I have. I'm like, when were you ever in my womb? Because I have that many that call me mom. I'm like, I don't ever remember.
Maybe not the womb, but the heart.
Yes.
The other womb.
Yeah, the other womb. Yeah, I like that. The other womb. Because honestly, if you're going to go into education and me starting the program, it's necessary. It's necessary. At least I feel like, to be a quality educator, you have to really go that extra step and create other platforms. And even with the radio, you know, having the radio show, at least for me, it's important. I feel the stories that aren't being shared, then it's my responsibility to share it. I can't wait on traditional outlets or to be seen or heard by factions who are in power. I'm in power.
Empower yourself.
Exactly. What am I waiting on? Nothing. So I'm just going to go ahead and do what I need to do and say what needs to be said. And I just feel that there's such a power in authenticity, and there's a power in vulnerability. And so I just keep sharing my story and telling. And what I'm finding is that I get inboxes and have conversations and, you know, I get encouragements from like different places. So I'm on to something.
Well, we want to turn people on to Brenda Williams. And again, we want the people to know that you're on Facebook.
I am on Facebook and Instagram. I am on IG. I even have an IGTV channel.
Which is? What did they look up?
They look up Brenda Williams.
And again, the podcast, Be Intentional.
Be Intentional.
I said iTunes, but I'm not trying to be one platform.
Oh no, we're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher. We're on everything, so that for simplistic. Because I know we're mobile people, right? We're getting fast paced. We gotta find it. Right, go right. Gotta go to it now. Go to BrendaWilliams.com. That's the hub for everything. Click on the tab. And you can go to The Power of Girlhood. You can listen to, I was actually on a radio show that said you can listen to a clip so they can get even more. Hopefully y'all fall in love with The Power of Girlhood like I've fallen in love with and want to support us. And if you want to hear old episodes, I can take you on the rep. Go to Brehenda Williams, and as a hyphen in it, B-E-R hyphen H-E-N-D-A Williams.
And there's a documentary underway.
Underway!
If you...
beautiful, brilliant girls. Oh, they're so brilliant.
You can be a part of it in one form or another.
Yes, please.
Contribute.
Yes.
Look up this wonderful woman, my good friend, Brehenda Williams, joining us here on Impact, WHFR. Thank you. Thank you, Brehenda.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener supported, non-commercial radio.
And dolls, you are at the malt shop with Daddy G, and we're going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the malt shop, where the jukebox is playing, the kids are dancing, and here we are, back in the 50s.
Well, bless my soul, but what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my hands are shaky and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. Who do you think of when you have such luck? I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, please don't ask me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, but I feel fine when I'm near the girl that I love best. My heart beats so it scares me to death when she touches my hand. Oh, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My tongue gets tied when I try to speak. My insides shake like a leaf on a tree. There's only one cure for this body of mine. That's to have that girl and her love so fine. She touched my hand and what the chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my